Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. We went to California we left 2 days after Christmas, and we got on the way flying there. I said to my husband, I said, "Honey, what do you think if we buy a car while we're out there? I'm sure somebody needs a car, and we could just sort of mosey our way back home the second week. We'll stay out there a week and then kind of go slow." Well, God answered my prayer in a different way. We got stranded out there because of the blizzard you all had here, and had that second glorious week. So then I said, "Honey, I got another brilliant idea. Why don't we buy a car, and I'll mosey home eventually." And obviously my powers of persuasion aren't very good because I'm here. But we had just an amazing 2 weeks, and the Lord does answer prayer. I'm sure that blizzard was just for me. I'm believing. I just want to talk to you tonight about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is something that I've really tried to embrace, tried to walk out, tried to get into, devote myself to it. It's something that eludes us. It's difficult to get there. But it's God's heart that we would have that fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverential trust, and it has to do with obedience. It demands obedience, and it also is hating what God hates. So there's a lot right in that fear of the Lord. And while we were singing, before I really get into that, while we were singing, I saw Jesus, and he's in a mirror. He's in the mirror. And if you stand in front of the mirror and you look at yourself, he wants you to see him. It's like that song that we were singing, and it's believing him, who he is in you. It's believing that you are worthy to be loved. You are, the more you embrace who you are in Christ Jesus, the more you're going to look in that mirror and you're going to see him. You're going to be transformed into his very, the Bible says, transformed into his very likeness. When we let him have our minds and we begin to align ourselves with his thinking. And that's in the fear of the Lord. Starts in Isaiah. I mean, this is where it involves Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11, it's talking about Jesus, and it's talking about the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and it names several attributes of the Holy Spirit. And then at the bottom of that, it says, in part of verse 3, it says, "His delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord." It's like Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. If you stop to think about that, that means he delighted in trusting God, reverential trust. He had the awe, and he delighted in trusting God for every aspect of his life. How many of us are there? Like, "Oh man, I so want to be there." But it's like you'd be walking. There's two kinds of fear in the world. We have an unholy fear and a holy fear. And that unholy fear is what normally grips us. When something starts going and we can't figure, we want to know, we want to have the plan ahead. We want to have it all mapped out. We want to know where we're going. We want to know what's the answer before we get there. We want to have everything figured out. And when we don't, and things start turning, changing the way it looks, and it starts to look stormy, then we don't know what to do with it. And so this fear starts to rise up. And in this scripture, it says when Jesus delighted in the fear, this is way before Jesus. It's like several hundred years before Christ, but it's talking about him. And it says when he walked in the fear, that he delighted in the fear of the Lord, but then it says he does not judge by what his eyes see or what his ears hear. You're so focused on trusting God for every detail of your life that you're not making unholy or unhealthy judgments about or preconceived ideas or how you think it looks by what you see or what you hear. I thought of it. There's an example, a story that we all love about Peter. It's when Jesus was walking on the water. A big storm, you know, a storm had come up, and Jesus, or not a storm, Jesus said, "You guys go ahead, cross the water, and I'll catch up with you." And so they did. They started to cross, and then they see Jesus walking on the water. What a sight. I've never seen anybody walk on water, but I can imagine what would be going through my mind if I did. And it says, when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were terrified. So right there, they lost it. They turned to the wrong fear. They were terrified. And then it says, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. He walked on the water. I mean, he didn't take one or two steps. He walked towards Jesus. He was doing it. How amazing. I mean, put yourself in that place. Jesus is walking on the water. How weird is that? And then you're walking on the on the weird water. Yeah. You're the weird one walking on the water. You know? I mean, like, to even get your mind around that possibility, talk about outside the box. That is so outside the box. But then what happens? But seeing the wind, he became afraid. So what did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at the wind. And it didn't matter that Jesus was still standing. The wind looked more powerful. He judged by what his eyes saw, and it caused fear. So then he began to sink. That would cause more fear, right? So fear is becoming paramount right here. And he said, "Lord, save me." That's just what we do. Once fear starts working its way in there, once ungodly fear, the enemy will he'll stoke that fire. He'll get that going. He'll heap one thing after another. Your mind starts to agree with it. And what have you just empowered? You've just empowered darkness. Just empowered darkness. We do it all the time, every day. It's like we do it with anger. We do it with bitterness. We do it with unforgiveness. Every day we empower. I'm not condemning anybody. I do it. We empower the darkness. And we want to turn that around, and we want to empower God in our lives. We want to empower the attributes of God. The very Holy Spirit of Jesus lives in you. The very life of Christ dwells in you if you're a Christian. If you've given your life, if you've given your heart to Jesus, and you've accepted him as Lord and your Savior, he's either Lord or he's not. And if you say he's Lord, then the very life of Jesus lives in you. We want to let that manifest. So I was talking to my daughter about this at dinner tonight, and she said, "Mom, how do you do that? How do you begin to walk in the fear of the Lord?" And it's falling in love with him. It's falling in love with him. Once you begin to get it, that God loves you, each one of you individually. He loves you with a burning, passionate, redeeming, forgiving, restoring, healing love. His love, there is nothing that will stand. The scripture says that nothing will stand in the way of God's love for you. There is nothing. Nothing. That wind could not make. If Peter would have really embraced this idea that there is no way on the face of the earth that wind could have caused him to sink. That wind was absolutely no danger to him. That's the way we need to embrace our trials. It is no danger to me, because I have the very Spirit of God dwelling in me, and I am one with him. He is my strength. He causes me to walk on water. And the minute we get our eyes off of him, we start looking at our whatever it is. Any distraction is a distraction. Doesn't matter. And we can, boy, we have some strong reasons for looking at the distraction. But it's how you look at it. You're either going to look at it from a place of victory, knowing that your God is stronger than that, and that's going to look very small to you, or you're going to empower it, and you're going to see it as really big and huge and a strong wind that's going to cause you to sink, and oh my, and it just gets like enormously huge. And then, so once you get there, it's a little difficult to work out of that place. So keeping our focus on the Lord, and keeping him, like if Peter would have kept his gaze, I talk a lot about that, but if Peter would have kept his gaze on God, there's no way he would have started sinking. And then Jesus says, you of little faith, why do you doubt? I mean, he had God standing in front of him. And he even recognized him as Lord. And yet, there he is, acting like us. You know, it's just, it's what we do. But we don't have to. We can walk in this fear of the Lord. And we need to. Reverence is profound adoring, awed respect. So what he's doing with fear of the Lord, it's delighting in with reverence, that awe, that respect. You're respecting who God is, and that trust. Your trust that, so you're delighting in trusting him. And sometimes we blame God for taking us through some very hard trials, and we do go through trials, and we'll be tested. But keeping our eyes on the one who's already walked on the water, the one who's already died and gone to heaven on our behalf, those trials become very small. They become like, so I find myself thinking that I can't be stopped. You know, I can't, it's like, I can't, I'm not going to succumb to despair. I'm not going to go to fear. We have 5 grandsons, and they're all like teenage, like early to late teen, even early 20s. And it's like, that can give you great fear, because they're boys. And nothing against boys. I love them. But they test, and they stretch, and they fear can rise up. And the minute it does, it's like, Jesus, what do you say here? And he always, like, puts me back on my feet. And like, abide in my peace, or this is going to get you. Because it can look pretty nasty sometimes. It can look very difficult. And so in the testing, we either become weaker or stronger. So let your trials strengthen you. Don't be afraid of the shaking. Don't be afraid of the trial. Because really, that's what it is. You know, the enemy wants to shake you. And when you agree with him, you've just empowered him. And then to survive the shaking is hard. When the enemy has you in his grip and you fall into despair, then you've just agreed with him and empowered him. But God is a God of redemption. There is nothing that the enemy can destroy that has brought you into a place that God can't bring you out of and raise you higher. So we have to, what do you believe? It's what you believe. So when you look in the mirror, what do you believe? What do you see when you look in the mirror? I used to look in the mirror and think, oh my word, you're pathetic, unworthy, unlovable, like nothing. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. Like I had nothing that anybody would ever want to hear or say or think that I had any value outside of my family. Like nothing. You have to understand. That's been a stronghold in my life. Like I have no value. I have no voice. I have nothing to give you, nothing to say, nothing to offer you, and you wouldn't want to hear it even if I did. So when I looked in the mirror, it wasn't very pretty. And I sure didn't see Jesus. But now, when I look in the mirror, and I'm talking with spiritual eyes, but when I look at the mirror, I see us as one. It's like his face is trans, like, I don't know if it's my face is transposed on his face or his is, or the other way around, but it's like we're one. And he's beautiful. You know, you need to see him. You need to look in that mirror and know that he in his eyes, you are the most beautiful, handsome, amazing thing that ever lived. That his love for you, for each one of you individually. It's not, you know, we kind of down it. We'll say, oh, God loves everybody. So there's nothing special about me. And that's not true. Now, he does love everybody. But there's everything special about you because his love is so outside ours. He doesn't love like us. He has the ability to look at Linda and there can be a gazillion people around her and she's all he sees. But the person right next to her, it's all he sees. And it's each one of you like that. His focused love and attention on you is intense and it's intentional and it's there's great purpose because he's trying to draw you into that place. And when we walk in that place of that trusting him for anything, everything, what I've found is, I have to share a dream with you. Lord's wanting me to share a dream with you. I had this dream, and in the dream I was in a church setting, but outside the church was a big beach and an ocean. And I was looking for my husband. And I had it in the back of my mind that my husband at one point had betrayed me with another woman. But that's not true in the natural, by the way. But it had been forgiven and was over and done with. And so I wasn't looking for that. But lo and behold, I find my husband on the beach dancing with another woman. And the sand is soft sand. And they're doing the waltz, and he doesn't even know how to dance. I woke up from the dream going, he doesn't even. In the dream, I was thinking he didn't know how to dance. And he's with another woman, and they're dancing, and they're gliding. I mean, you wouldn't think they were on sand. They're gliding. And I run over there, and I am livid. Now, I'm a low anger person, but I was livid in the dream. And I marched up to him, and I'm like, what do you think you're doing? You know, what do you think you're doing? And I need an explanation now. And he's like, I'm just dancing, you know? And I'm like, I am leaving. And he's like, okay, all right. And he's still happy. I'm like, so he takes me down to the beach. And the way I have to leave is to get in a boat. The boat is just fits my body. And I have no oars, and I have to paddle across the ocean. And it's getting dark, and a wind's kicking up. I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. So I get out of the boat, and I stand up, and I say, I want an explanation. I want it now. And I wake up. And I have enough experience with dreams to know that it wasn't him. When I got the interpretation for that dream, it was that it was a friend of mine that he was dancing with, that she represented time, and he represented the Lord. And the waltz, as I got to thinking about that, the waltz is a dance that is time. It's like timing is everything with the waltz. And if you dance that waltz, it's like any choreographed dance, the timing is everything. And the male leads, and so the Lord is leading, and she represented the church. And as he's leading the church through this beautiful dance on what seems like difficult, it would be difficult. It's sand is sinking sand. You know, it's soft. You couldn't do a waltz gracefully on sand. They were like gliding like they were on glass. So he was leading his church, and every time he raised his hand or went to move her something, she perfectly matched his movement, and it was stunning. And the betrayal was personal. It was forgiven. It was, and I know exactly when it was. It was a few years ago. I went to a conference, and it was a Signs and Wonders conference, and I was asking for healing. Everybody was asking for different things, and I was asking for healing because I, at that time, was very, very sick. And the Lord gave me gold teeth instead. So that for the first time in my life, felt like God betrayed me. Yeah, that kind of... I went. My husband and I grew up conservative, and we didn't know that Signs and Wonders existed until we came to Voice. And in 2005, we joined Voice, and they just opened up a whole new world to us of the spirits, the Holy Spirit's alive and well on the planet Earth. And so we got really excited. And so we were going to all kinds of conferences, people that would recommend. So we were making sure they were safe. And we went to a Signs and Wonders conference up in Michigan. And the guy that was there was teaching. And all of a sudden he goes, an angel just walked in the room. And this angel likes to give good gifts. So start asking for whatever you want. Because he'll healing, gold teeth, jewels, gold dust, manna. Just start looking around, look in everybody's mouth, have somebody look in your mouth 5 times. And we started doing that, looking around and seeing nothing. I'm standing there, God, I want healing. I don't care about anything else. I want healed. So amazing. Anyway, Sue Bailey was with us, and she got covered in gold dust, and she looked like a little gold statue walking around. And I got some gold dust, and I thought that was the end of it because I sure wasn't getting healed. And the third time, she looked in my mouth, and there was 2 gold teeth. And I'll tell you, that messed with me. Oh, I thought God betrayed me, and I don't want the gold teeth. I didn't see them as a blessing. And it wasn't till 2 years ago, 2 years ago this month, that the Lord told me why he gave me the gold teeth. And it had to do with the initial woundedness I told you about, that nobody would ever want to hear anything I had to say. That I had no value in opinion or voice, or certainly not a teacher or anything like that. And the Lord's dreams and visions and prophetic words and just the word trying to get me to understand what he's called me to do. And He finally ended the argument when he said to me, "Londa, I have filled your mouth with gold. Now speak." I can't argue with that. And I see them as a blessing. But they really messed with this little conservative girl, let me tell you. But as I have walked in the fear of the Lord, okay, I'm just going to read two quick scriptures because we need to get to some ministry. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. This is the fear of the Lord. It's talking about fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Even when you start in that reverential trust and you start seeing God for who he really is in your life and you believe him for all things, and I've come to that place where I trust him to heal me, even though I've never gotten an instant healing. My body is being restored. I know it is. I feel it. It's been, like, just for an example, it's been over a year since I've had an attack of eczema. I used to have, my head was literally for years one big scab. If I didn't use lots of medication on it, my whole scalp would turn into one big scab and it would get on my elbows. It's been over a year since I've had an attack, and it's healed. It's done. The fibromyalgia used to keep me bedridden and in a wheelchair. It's gone. There's things that I am walking out and I believe. And so the promise to me is right here. He will. He will. It says, if the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead and dwells in you, and he does, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He gives life, and that's not your resurrected body. It says mortal body. He will give life to your mortal body. So there's many ways of healing. We love to see the instant, but there's also walking it out in faith. And we don't want to put God in a box. But tonight, we're going to see some instant healing. So I'd like Michael to come up and the worship team, and we're going to start worshiping. We're gonna start releasing healing. God loves to heal. Says that Jesus healed every single person that ever came to him and asked for it, and then he reached out to some that didn't. But Jesus never turned anyone away, and so we know that that's the Father's heart, right? I mean, that's part. Jesus says, I only do what my Father, what I see him doing. And so apparently, Father is healing. It's his heart. It's part of Isaiah 53. It's part of what Jesus did on the cross. By his stripes we are healed. There's scripture after scripture to back that up. So we want to see it tonight, right? So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to stand. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here in even greater measure now. We just invite your healing power to flow in this place. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love to heal. You love to restore. It's part of who you are. And it's part of who we are because of you in us. Jesus. Everyone who has pain in your body, I want you to raise your hand. If you're feeling pain in your body, there's quite a few of you. Okay, I want the healing team and everybody, keep your hand up so people can find you. If you have pain in your body, everybody who's not raising your hand, you go lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. The healing team's going to be dispersed throughout the team. Yeah, you're all a team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody that doesn't have hands laid on you, that if you need, okay. Take authority over that pain and you command it to leave. Sometimes these things are spirits. Sometimes it's from an accident. Sometimes there's disease causing it. There's all kinds of reasons. But you speak blessing where the enemy is trying to destroy and cause pain. You speak blessing over that. You release the pain. Just speak release. I just release this pain in Jesus' name. Command it to leave. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you pray. Listen and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right here? How do you want me to pray? Open their ears to hear you, Lord. Ask for a greater measure of faith in this place tonight, Lord. That faith would rise. The fear of the Lord would just become alive in this place. So when you've prayed for somebody, then ask them to test it. Don't worry, that can be hard. That's a hard thing. But ask them to move around a little bit and see if it feels any different. Anybody getting any healing? Raise your hand. Yeah? Here's one. Anybody else?
During worship, sensed some people with hip pain or lack of mobility in your hips, or even sciatic nerve kind of activity. And if that's you, or you've been prayed for pain, that's good. But if you like lack of mobility in your hips, you're not as mobile as you used to be. If that's you, just come on over to the corner here, and I'd just like to pray for you right over here. And I also just sensed in the room tonight, we're just going to kind of keep a flow going right now. In the room tonight, there's some of you that absolutely need the embrace of God. You need to feel God. I don't know how else to say it. I heard the Lord say, I want to embrace some of my people. And if that's you, just feel free to come forward along the front. Nobody's going to hug you, but we're going to ask God to hug you. We're going to ask God to touch your heart tonight. You just need His embrace. You need to be held by the Holy Spirit.
Anybody wanting that? Wanting more Holy Spirit? Just don't be shy. Come on up. This is an opportunity to just offer your heart before the Lord and be vulnerable. So he's all about that. So I just call the healing team to come up, and we're just going to start praying for you. I also keep thinking there's people here that have a headache or migraine. I don't know if it's sinus headache. Whatever that is, if that's you, come on forward. If there's any reason that you want to be prayed for, feel free to come. Come on up. If you'd like ministry for some reason that we're not naming, you come on forward. We're happy to pray for whatever you need. Thank you.
Pure.